from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? It is like children who sit in marketplaces and call to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, but you didn't mourn.' For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by her works." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're in the week in which the Church has its focus on St. John the Baptist, which is what connects the various Gospel passages together. But we can always similarly look at them in terms of what they teach us about the way we're supposed to approach Advent. Advent, as you know, involves a triple dynamism. Christ is coming to us. We need to get up from where we are and go to meet him. Once we meet him, we don't stay there. He then says, "Follow me," and he continues to lead us afterward. So our faith is always dynamic. The Lord is coming to get us up and lead us on a journey. When we look at today's gospel, Jesus criticizes his contemporaries, but those in every generation, for trying to control God, for not wanting to move, to look at themselves as the standard setters, and have everything else revolve around their preferences, rather than transform them so that their life will conform itself to the Lord's will. So we've got the scene that Jesus describes. Children sitting in the marketplaces playing the music. In ancient karaoke, we're going to play the flute, and we want you to dance a jitterbug, and then we're going to ask you to dance a waltz, and we're going to, etc. We sang a dirge for you, but you didn't mourn. We're in control. We want to play you like a puppet. Jesus illustrates what was going on. They were damning if they did, damning if they didn't, others. John came, living extraordinarily ascetically, and you said he's possessed by a demon. Jesus came doing the opposite with regard to food and drink, and you condemned him too. Look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You didn't want to change no matter what, no matter who came. And it's all summarized by the description Jesus gives. Children who sit in marketplaces and call not to God but to each other. So fussy little children who want the universe to revolve around them, sitting, not moving, not ready to spring into action and follow the Lord, but wanting to stay where they are. In marketplaces, we're living in a consumerist age, and we want everything to be tailored to our whims, including whatever God gives us, in calling to each other, rather than really listening first to the Lord who speaks and calls them to get up and follow. Every Advent, it's an opportunity for us to say, am I sitting or am I ready to move? Am I going out to meet the Lord who's coming? And am I really willing to follow wherever he goes? Or do I want to keep things in this nice little tidy box I call my life without the Lord getting me outside of that box? Am I consumerist with regard to the way that I approach the faith? Do I like my music just like that? Do I want all the verses sung or just the first or the second verse sung? How do I like the temperature in the chapel? Do I like it when it's summer? Right now? Some nice heat? Do I prefer it when it's cold? And do we start to go through everything with our preferences? Do I like that psalm tone or the, you know, I prefer 4 and 5, by the way. I'll take a little 8. The rest are ugly. Etc. We can do that all the time. And the Lord's constantly coming to change us and to get us moving. In today's passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah, God speaks to us and says, I, the Lord your God, teach you what is for your good and lead you on the way that you should go. He comes constantly with a gloriously scarred hand and says, come follow me. And that's what Advent's meant to prepare us to do. We've got to make straight the paths for us to follow the Lord continuously, not just for him to come and pay a visit and then leave so that we can be in charge of our life again. But the one who comes and has made the path so that all our crooked ways are smooth, all our valleys are filled in, all our mountains of pride are leveled. Someone who lives this way is St. John of the Cross, one of the greatest saints of all time. And we need to plumb the depths of what the Lord gave him, because in everything he was willing to follow the Lord. And he's left us the map. He's the greatest of all the doctors of the church, in my opinion, with regard to prayer. He has described it better than anybody has ever described it. And then he leaves us extraordinarily challenging things. Very simple conceptually, very difficult morally. Like, for example, in his precautions at the very end of his collective works, Sayings of Light and Love, he'll say that everything adverse and propitious comes from God. Do we accept the Lord's will no matter what? Or do we evaluate things by our own criteria rather than by God's criteria? God, who loves us, even if we should have to suffer, he's going to draw way greater good out of those sufferings. Do we permit everything that he permits? And do we embrace it as a means to follow him more closely, knowing that he's with us? That's what John himself did in his life. He was orphaned at 2. His dad died, his mom, and he lived in extraordinary poverty. They were abused, in a sense, financially by family members. He was apprenticed as a teenager, and it was through that apprenticing that somebody recognized he had an extraordinary mind, so allowed him to go to college. Little did anybody know at the time that he would become the greatest doctor of the church of all time. He wanted to become a Carmelite, and he did. But he was extraordinarily scandalized by the ways that the Carmelites were trying to control God and live basically high on the hog rather than ascetically. He was about to leave the Carmelites to become a Carthusian when he met St. Teresa of Avila and became part of her reform of the Carmelite order, so that they would really go in the ways of the Lord rather than according to their own preferences. And over the course of time, St. John had to suffer tremendously. Simply because he was holy, he was persecuted through the envy of so many other Carmelites at the time who just didn't really want that standard of holiness lived. He was imprisoned for over a year, in which the only light he received was a small little glimpse of what was coming from below the door. And then later on in life, he was treated as if he were some type of great criminal, and he died in a situation like that. But as we heard in the breviary reading this morning, it's through the cross that the Lord was perfecting him to be so much more like the Lord. And even when he was in prison, that's where he would write his great poetry. reflecting on it over and over again in his mind, honing it, and then writing the great commentaries which became his principal works on what the Lord had revealed to him. He had to express it in poetry because it just couldn't be expressed in prose, because prose couldn't do it justice. You needed to use images. Through it all, he was attuning his entire life to what the Lord was playing. He recognized the Lord was calling him to sing a new song in every circumstance, that the Lord had given the lyrics in sacred scripture, but that John was to be the instrument who allowed those lyrics really to be played, both a dirge or a happy song with a flute. John was constantly capable of playing both because he recognized that the wind was coming from above. He was taught what is not only for his good, but likewise for what is for our good. And he was led on the way that any of us should go. And what is that way? As he wrote again, he said, "You are here for no other reason than to become a saint." He was so totally focused on the whole meaning of human life. Today, as we celebrate Mass on his feast day, we remember that those who follow the Lord will have the light of life. And we have St. John of the Cross as a great example. Great example of the crucial importance of prayer. Only one thing is necessary, and that one thing is God. And that God speaks to us today in sacred scripture. And that God now feeds us with himself.